Georgia, Georgia, whoa, 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 whoa. There's no peace I'm gonna find. Just an old sweet song. Well, it keeps Georgia on my mind.
That's beautiful, Jay. That's
Thank
great.
You.
Jay, how did you get your nickname, Hootie?
Well, I'll tell you, when I first came to Kansas City, you know, I was going to all the clubs to meet the musicians, and these musicians was playing a lot of good swing and blues and all that stuff. And so quite naturally, you know, that just kept me off balance, you know, seeing all of this happening and everything. So the guys took me over a club one night. They told the bartender, "Bartender, fix this new cat up in town, that old special you give for us." So old bartender, he always, you know, they'd always try drinks out on the cats, you know. They said, "Here, the cat's up there, let's try something on them. Hey, try this. What do you like? You like that, you know?" So the old cat, he fixed up one of them bombshells, you know. And it tasted so good, you know, I just... He said, "How about another?" And I said, yeah, good. So I couldn't turn it down. And when he said the third one, I something said, no, you better not try the third one. I said, yeah, thank you, yeah, I'll go for it. So I tried the third one. So the guys kept saying, "Are you ready to sit in and play?" I said, yeah, anytime, whenever you're, let me know when you guys are going to start the session. So they say, "Okay, we're ready. We're waiting for you." So I'm way over here trying to get over there to the piano. And I tried to get up, and I couldn't get to the piano. And everybody fell out. That was the laugh of the evening, see? See, because they had that thing put together. They said, "We'll fix him." And they fixed me. So they just, when they would mention me, "Man, do you remember the cat that came down to the club the other night?" "Oh, yeah, the cat came down, that new cat in town, he came down there and got hooted." "Oh, yeah, old Hootie, that's who I'm talking about, yeah, old Hootie." And so they started calling me Hootie from there on, and it stayed. That's what it is. "Hey, Hoot, what's happening?" "Oh, all right, everything's cool, you know, whatever, you know." "Yeah, man, this cat came on down the club and got hooted the other night." "Yeah, we were going to take him by the Hootenanny, you know. That Hootenanny, you know, Art Tatum, you know, he used to love them Hootenannies. There was the spots, you know, where the cats, special spots where they hang out, you know. And Tatum had him two good spots he'd hang out, you know, in Los Angeles. His wife told me, she said, "Well, now, Mr. McShane, I'm going to trust Art with you tonight. I drive his car for him, you know." And she said, "Now, I trust you. She goes, "You seem to be a nice fella." So I said, "Oh, I'll bring him home early." But I didn't know when I got Art out, when he got to fighting that juice, Art wasn't ready to go home. He said, "Man, I'm not." He said, "What are you talking about going home? I'm not ready to go home." I said, "Well, I promise you, madam, I'm going to get you home." I said, "You better start thinking about it anyway or something." I said, "Because I told her I was going to get you home." He said, "Man, we ain't thinking about this stuff." I said, "Well, I guess I might as well let my hair down, too." So then Art started telling me how bad I was acting. He said, "Man," he said, "did you know," he said, "I made you acquainted with some two beautiful gals." He said, "And they think the world and all of me." He said, "And you sit up there and you just talk to them like they was just out of the, just off of the street." He said, "I feel so bad." He says, "I said, oh, man, I didn't do that." He said, "Yes, you did." He said, I said, "Well, that's the way you was acting the other night." I told him that's when we would do each other, you know. He said, "Okay." He said, "All right." He said, "Well, yeah." He said, "We'll let you go on that one." He said, "But," he said, "I got my eye on you."
Jay, I can imagine that Kansas City, when you got there in the late 30s, there must have been a party going on there like nowhere else in the world back then. I understand there was like over 200 clubs that had live music playing in it, and 14th and Vine area. It must have been absolutely wild.
Yes, it was wild, you know. And the thing about it is they piped the music out like right out in the street, you know, right out in front. And people passing by, they hear something they like, they turn around and go back, and let's go in and see who that is, you know. And that's the way that I heard Yardbird Parker. We was passing by the Barley Duke Club, and we was walking. I said, man, who is that blowing in there? Cat said, I don't know. It says this guy's probably got a session going. I said, let's go in and see. So we went in, and it was Charlie, you know. Charlie was blowing, so we went up and talked to him, says, so we talked, and he said, well, look, I said, glad, man, I'm sure glad I met you. I said, maybe we'll get a chance to do something together. He said, yeah, anytime. He just called me anytime. He said, I'll be ready. And that's you know, you could hear the music, and you would hear it, and if it sounded good, you walked in, hear somebody singing, they hit a note that you like, you know. It don't have to be but one note. Hear one note you like, well, let's go and check that note out.
Well, Jay, of course, Charlie Parker made his first recordings when he was playing with Jay McShann Orchestra, and went on to rewrite jazz history.
That's right.
Did you know how good he was at the very beginning?
Well, you could tell it, you know. After sitting in, you know, you're sitting with a guy working every night, you know, night after night, and listening to the, you know, the stuff that he's doing, the way he's doing it, and what he was doing, you know, you can't help it. You can't help but know it. You sit and wonder. You said, when will this guy get his dues? When he's gonna get what's due him? You know, you wonder. He says, I wonder will he ever make it. Wonder will he ever get a chance to get it. But you can stop and say this, that if he didn't get it, at least some of the people that he cared for did. They reaped some benefit, you know.
I remember once you said that you were kind of surprised by how long it actually took Charlie Parker to get his reputation.
That is true. That's true because, you see, he had it. He had it. Yeah, he had it. Even Diz, I listen to Diz when Diz talking. Diz tells the people all the time, says, Charlie Parker had this thing, had more ideas about this thing than anybody around. He said, so quite naturally, we all clustered around Bird, you know, because he had the more advanced thing of it going. He knew better what to do, what not to do. He had an insight, you know.
I was reading Miles Davis's autobiography, and on the very first page, Miles Davis says that one of the first two records that he bought was Hootie Blues.
Yeah, Miles is quite a guy. Yes, he is.
And, of course, Hootie Blues, you know, features the first playing on record by Charlie Parker.
That's right.
I wanted to ask you, what kind of a man was Charlie Parker?
Well, Charlie was... I'll say that he was kind of a truthful man in a lot of ways. You know, he'd tell the truth when you wasn't expecting to tell the truth, you know. He'd give you straight facts. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of times people don't like straight facts. Sometimes they want you to butter it up a little, you know. They put a little butter and put a little sugar in there, you know. But he'd give you straight facts. You ask him, you said, why did I ask this guy this? That's your note and butter, you know. But he's going to just go give it to you. He's going to shoot it right on out to you, you know. He'd tell the cats would be running around Bird, hey, Bird, blow my horn tonight. No, don't blow his, blow mine. Bird, they had me ask him, where's your horn, Bird, you know. So Bird said, well, he'd pick out the horn. Well, I like this horn. Whose horn is this? He said, hey, man, he says, can I blow your horn tonight? Yeah. Well, look here, I'll have it for you in the morning. See me in the morning at such time. Everything will be all right. okay, Bird, take the horn, go ahead on, make the gig that night, and then next morning, Cat come by for the gig, you know, come by for his horn. Yeah, Bird, how'd everything go? Oh, fine, everything went all right. Well, look here, Bird reaching in his pocket, you know, he's feeling around his pocket. But where's my horn? Oh, here it is. Yeah, take this, go down there, such and such a place down there, a couple of blocks down there. They call it so-and-so's. And I had to have a little something, so here you go. Here's the ticket. He said, I told you I'd take care of your horn. He took care of it.
In the pawn shop.
Yes. But he was truthful about it, you know. Yeah, he was truthful about it, yeah.
Jay, back then, the Jay McShann Orchestra, you were 26 years old, and you were pretty much the oldest guy in the band. It was a pretty young orchestra in the early 40s, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And I understand that that apart from Charlie Parker, there were a lot of other free spirits in that that band.
You said it when you say free spirits.
As a band leader, how did you discipline them and control them?
Well, that's, you know, a lot of people used to ask me that. And I'll tell you how, really, the way I found out controlling them cats was I found out how to play crazy and let them know you playing crazy. And I let the cats know I was playing crazy. Cat said, man, look here, this cat here's playing crazy on us, man. Yeah, man, this cat been playing crazy on us, so and so. You know, they talk that stuff among themselves. And really, I got more respect and everything. And the cats, you know, they got to the point, the next thing you did, we looked around and all the cats is playing crazy. He's letting you know, now, wait, now, this ain't going, you know. No, this ain't going to go, you know. And he said, man, now, what you doing playing crazy on me for? Man, I didn't expect you to come up with this stuff. You know, this old Max Shan stuff, you know what I mean? But that's a fact. And then you see the guys, like, you know, everybody wants to make a draw. They want to draw some money, you know. And, you know, I had to work something out for that because everybody in there wants more. They want some money, you know. They want to draw some. I said, well, listen, I don't have but a dollar. I don't have but a dollar. So then I had to learn how to put the big dollars inside and leave the little dollars on the outside so I couldn't make no mistakes. And then they said, a dollar, I only got a dollar. I'd pull it out, and there it was. They said, man, this cat said he only had a dollar. I guess maybe, you know.
Jay, did you have a system of fining members?
Oh, yes, we had a system of fining cats. Whenever they did something wrong, or they getting out of line, or got out of line, and we made the cats fine themselves. I mean, they had to put the fine on themselves. And so that's what we made them do. And so the first guy that got fined, as usual, was Bird. And Bird come up with a fine. Man, I fined myself a dollar because I did so-and-so. The cats jumped right on him. No, you ain't going to get by with that. No, you go and find yourself. And the cat's standing all around him. Now, come on, cut loose with it. What is it? He said, well, I will pay $2. No, no, you ain't going to get by with $2. No $2 fine for that. Well, man, what do y'all want? He said, oh, come make this fine right. He said, well, that's $10. Okay. He said, should be more. Said, but next time we're going to hold out for more. Cats would do that. They had a, you know, like we had the judge and the lawyers, you know, and all that stuff going on. And we had a game that the cats played. The game was named the Bear. Whichever cat had the worst looking babe that night after the gig, when he got to the bandstand the next night, the bear trap was in front of his stand. And you, man, those cats would rather for you to beat them up than to put a bear trap in front of their stand. They'd carry on and cry and carry on. Oh, man, I ain't done nothing like that. No, 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 these cats are wrong, man. They got the trap out there in front of my stand. And we'd leave the bear trap there. in the bathroom. So it is hard to get by that bear in that van, you know. And if he had a bear, he got trapped.
Jay, you do a beautiful solo version of Ain't Nobody's Business, which was a song, I guess, that you actually played on the Jimmy Witherspoon hit of that, too, didn't you?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And I wonder if you wouldn't mind playing that for us.
Oh, I'd be glad to.
Thank you, Jay. That's beautiful.
Thank you.